just delighted to be here. Of course, this beautiful exhibit is an inspiration, but getting to meet people in your incredibly warm, welcoming community and experiencing a little of the just creative vitality you have here is really a delight. It's really inspiring, and I'm just tickled to be here. I'm going to start with a piece of Bach. This is totally, has nothing to do with anything except that this is a cello. And you're just meeting me. It's like a calling card. It's like, here, I play the cello. Let me play you a piece of Bach. And you will recognize this. Suites, and it's a Sarabande from a suite that I wrote.
Thank you.
that surprise you that I was saying? Yeah. Okay, great. I wanted it to be a surprise. So, you know, I've noticed, I've been hearing stories about what people do, and I realize Alaskans, you do lots of different things, right? If it needs doing, you do it. If you don't know how, you learn how, right? So, same here. I wanted to be able to sing with myself, so
that's very awesome.
So I have pieces by two composers other than myself who are directly inspired by cold places. I almost said by Alaska. I know Christina Resnick, the next composer, has visited Alaska many times and written pieces inspired by it, but this particular piece is a result of a trip she took to Glacier National Park. And she deliberately went in spring and fall as opposed to the summer high season because she wanted to experience its the most dynamic time and not just the, you know, the sunny skies and all that sort of thing. She chose to focus on sort of the elements. And I thought of the three she wrote, the one water would be great because, after all, none of this would happen without water. Right? And today at Little Fireweed Academy, we talk quite a bit about water. And even though I tried to get them to tell me things about water, there were dragons involved. It was great. But so this is Water by Christina Resnick. And just a couple sort of cues to listen for. Some things will be immediately clear to you. There's little droplets and little bursts and gushes and sounds that are going to sound slippery and slidey and also, you know, different ways that you might depict water. But another thing I want to point out, and I need to ask her about this, but to me she evokes water by evoking Debussy. So Debussy wrote a lot of pieces about the ocean. There's La Mer, he wrote piano pieces, and one of the things that you will recognize, right? It's a whole tone scale. Everything is a whole step. Debussy used that a lot, and she uses it a lot in this piece, and I think, well, there you go. Then anyone who's heard Debussy, one of his watery pieces, will instantly also think about water for that. So I just think that was a cool idea on her part. Okay, Water by Christina Resnick. My cello is not happy in the dry. Thank you. I want to play two pieces from Three High Places by John Luther Adams, I suspect many of you are familiar with. And he is a master of using harmonics. And one reason I mean, obviously there's so much that's so amazing about it, but one thing that I particularly love about that for this is that it's a natural phenomenon, right? The string just does that. I've got a cap, I get this, and there's all these sounds, right? They're not solid. Like here, this one, solid, is that. This one, harmonic, solid, it's a completely different note. Right? This is the physics of the string. You divide it in half, you get an octave higher, you divide it in thirds, you get an octave and a fifth higher, and so forth and so on. Another law of physics that he uses in this piece, biologically he's using the law of lactic acid. You'll see what I mean. Buildup. But he's also using something called sul ponticello, which you did hear a little of in that piece, and more of later is what you will. He'll hear more of later. And what that means is getting closer to the bridge where the sound fractures into other to higher overtones. So when you do that with harmonics, it has some of the unpredictability and chaotic nature of a natural phenomenon. This one's called The Wind at McLaren Summit, and I mean, as a depiction of wind, I just can't think of anything more apt, at least from the cello. Oh, then after that, I'll do his piece, Looking Toward Hope, and Hope is a Place. Thank you. So I'm glad we got to look toward hope, because in the symbolic sense, because the next piece, this is very short, and it's almost more a data set than a piece of music, I'm going to be honest. It's called A Song of Our Warming Planet, and a student, while he was a graduate student, Daniel Crawford, who was, I think, a meteorology student, but a cellist as well, plotted NOAA data from the last 50 years or so, and you will hear what happens. So the temperatures relate to pitch. Lower is colder, higher is warmer. Black Snow, Dark Ocean, that you have some notes for, is another way. And I started looking into this. I had a colleague ask me to write a piece for her, solo cello piece, that can include singing, because she could also does both, for a program about climate change. And this was the result. But when I started researching it, you know, I found that, you know, first of all, the statistic that the Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the planet. And it may even be, that rate may even be increasing, right? I mean, you all see the effects every day. And I, you know, well, we all know what it was. And so I found that, the albedo effect, the way it creates a feedback loop. I think that's in your notes. But then I found the work of a climate scientist, and she created this CD-ROM, which is one of those things that I don't have the right computer to play it, because I ordered it from an agency. And her name is Sherry Fox Gearhart, and she lived in North Baffin Island for a few years, and she her project has been to incorporate the observations of Native people, and Inuit in this case, into the climate data, because they have a lot of observations and knowledge that she didn't have. So the two words that I use in this piece, one of them is Aniuvat, which is one of those words that English does not have a word for what it represents. It refers to snow patches that never melt, and we don't have a precise, detailed vocabulary like that in English. So I've noticed that a lot of climate scientists have adopted that and a few other words, Inuktitut words, generally, to describe things they don't have a precise word for. The other word is this one here, Ugyanaktuk, and it is it means when a friend or someone is behaving strangely or unpredictably, and the North Baffin Island people are apparently using that to refer to climate change and how unpredictable it is. And when I saw some interviews with people talking about how it changed their lives, they couldn't always do the hunting they wanted to do on the weekend because they couldn't count. It was more dangerous because they couldn't count on the ice to be there. The things were farther away. I mean, all these, it just broke my heart to think of, it's not just ecological diversity that we're at risk of losing, right? It's not just ecosystems. It's people's way of life. And I mean, I had Scott put me in touch with Michael Oppheim, who's the environmental programs coordinator at Seldovia Village Tribe, and he told me quite a bit about his own observations, and this is going to sound familiar to you, right? He talked about how the streams are drying up so the salmon can't get back. No snow yet this year, how warm it's been, how a new pest came in and wiped out all the berry brush, so they had to close their berry kitchen, which was a source of income for a lot of people. You talked about how the warming patches in the ocean are driving fishermen to have to go farther away because the cod just aren't there where they used to be. And I was really struck with the fact that I see a lot of these sorts of things in my garden, in my little Oregon environment, and it's just so much accelerated this far north. And from what I saw about even farther north, it's in many ways even more so. So in a contrast to the previous piece, which was a data set, and it's you know, do I even give it vibrato? Am I expressive in that? But this piece is my emotional response to how this all makes me feel. Black snow, dark ocean, which obviously refers to the albedo effect and its effects on speeding things up. one last piece. It is hot off the presses because it was inspired by this exhibit. In fact, by this painting right here.
Gosh.
So this is definitely a world premiere. So it's called On the Root Glacier, and I think it'll speak for itself in a lot of, it just captivated me, and this just poured out.